So here's what we're going to do. Let's talk about three different examples. First one, single family residence. And
hey, everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 257, and today we're doing part three, all about wraps. Before we get started, I want to mention some of our resources. If you're looking for a mentor, visit roimentors.com to learn more about Jeff's apprentice program and the Creative Financing Academy. For networking and questions, make sure you join the Creative Financing Podcast community on Facebook. The second Thursday of every month, don't miss Jeff's free Creative Financing class on Zoom. If you're local to the Salt Lake area, we host an in-person meetup at Club 90 in Sandy, Utah. Details in the description below.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We're in episode three of our
example time
four-part series. That's right, of wraps, all about wraps. So we did a good amount of comparing exact wraps to subject two, how we can use wraps in different situations. Now we're going to actually put it to work. And I understood how I could turn off my phone. And I don't know why it's not off, but
you just toss it out the window.
I might have to. all right. So here's what we're going to do. Let's talk about three different examples in the next two episodes. Okay. So first one, single family residence. And by the way, can we do this on single family? What about multifamily?
Yeah.
Yep.
What about commercial?
All the above, right?
What about expensive commercial? 10 million, 15 million, 50 million.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I'd say
it all works, right? It all could work. Actually, I had a lead brought to me today for $89 million. And the biggest issue that we have is being able to show proof of funds for $15 million. And we'll see what happens. With an assumable
loan, Cody,
and they're willing to finance a good portion of the balance of the equity. So we'll see. All right. So we're going to talk single family. And here we have little equity. Okay. So we have an ARV of $400,000, the $0375, 3.4% interest amortized over 30 years, a $1,707 a month principal and interest payment. Property's in good condition. They're asking $385. Okay. This is the kind of lead that we're going to start seeing more of, right? Because people that bought in the last couple of years, especially if they bought FHA or VA with little to no money down, and their property has gone up, but now their property is coming down. Now they don't have as much equity or no equity, but they have something very important. That nice low interest rate, right?
Yeah, 3.4% is great.
Yep. We're going to make one or the other type of offer here. Okay. So in this case, offer one. Make this offer if you plan on wrapping the loan to another end buyer, or you're going to hold the property as a rental. So this would be more like a sub two. Okay. So we could do it exact wrap as well, but I wanted to show it's just as easy to do either one, right? Where, hey, we'll give you the purchase price of $385. We'll put $10,000 down payment. In this case, subject to the mortgage, loan's going to stay in your name for the next 15 years. And then we're going to have a balloon payment and we're going to pay off whatever the remaining balance is on the underlying loan, right?
Okay. And when you say you're wrapping it to another end buyer, would that be a landlord or a owner-occupant? Or
yeah, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter because really, what happens, and this is why I said that you could still do it as subject to, is that I'm still in that chain, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the one obligated to the seller, okay? If I buy your house, Nicole, and I say, look, I'm going to buy on these terms, and then I sell it to you, Cody, at $415,000 with mm-hmm. you know, $40,000 down and you know, whatever the rest of the terms are. If you stop paying me, does that mean I stop paying Nicole? Nope. I'm responsible to Nicole, right? So I'm going to maintain that responsibility. If Cody's not paying me, then I got to work with Cody to either get him paying, get him out, find someone else, do it all over again. But that's my responsibility. So if I'm in the middle, I don't mind.
So you would be like buying it subject to in this example and then selling it contract for deed or as a wrap on
courses? Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now let's look at offer two. So we just did that sub two. Now make this offer if we're planning on wholesaling the property, right? So same kind of situation. I don't know if you could wholesale this, although we'll look at that in just a second, but purchase price is $385,000. We're going to put down $10,000. There's going to be a new note. Okay. We're going to create the same note as $375,000 and whatever balance. The interest rate's going to be the same, 3.4, whatever it was. Monthly payment will be $1,707 and the term will remain the same. Okay. We do it again for the 15 years, and we can actually use this. We could actually calculate our balloon payment so we would know mm-hmm. basically what it would be. But we can use this for any scenario, but make sure to use the exact wrap if you're planning on wholesaling this, right? So we could go back to this scenario. We can do it as exact wrap, no problem. But here, you'd want to if you're wholesaling it, okay?
And this, I have a question that's kind of in the weeds of an exact wrap, but if you're starting this loan as an exact wrap, wouldn't it amortize? You'd be paying more interest than what the underlying loan is, right? Because it's further into the amortization.
That's right.
So how would that affect you? Could you be losing equity every month?
Really, right? What you're going to want to do is put that, even though you're creating this new note, it's the new note is, let's go back and look at where it is in the amortization schedule. I don't even necessarily have to create this note with an interest rate or whatever. I could look at what the amortization is, and this is what I'm hoping my title company and or attorney would do for me, which mm-hmm. is, hey, figure out where we're at and calculate it like, hey, this will be paid off within, you know, whatever this is. And it might not be exactly 3.4. It's not like I'm creating a new note. It's identical to the underlying note, right?
Because you
would be right. If this was 10 years in, we're paying down more principal than we were when we started, right?
It continues
to build up. So if we're creating a new note, we're paying more interest starting out, not principal. So we are basically whatever that underlying note is. I don't care if it's 3 years in, 3 months in, or 26 years in. It will be identical to that underlying note.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So let's talk about some exit strategies. So depending on what the property could rent for, we could hold that as a rental, right? Well, we could do a potential lease option, or we could potentially wholesale it to a landlord. I don't know if any of those would work. I didn't really look into what those would be good for. Let's talk about the main one, which would sell to an owner-occupant, right? Because, hey, if this property is in good condition in a good area, we could either wholesale this property to them by just raising the price and raising the down payment, right? And then passing on all the rest of the terms, which were great, 3.4%, $1,707 a month. That would be a score for an owner-occupant, right? Or we could stay in the middle where we buy the property and now we change the terms to the owner-occupant. We'd want more money down, higher price, higher interest rate. We'd make the spread on the monthly payments, and we'd collect hopefully a nice profit at the end where our note is, the buyer's note to us is paying down much slower than the note that we've got to the seller. Here's really the key, right? Here's the key right here. We got in this property light, right? 10 grand. And we got a good interest rate. These two things probably are more important than the house right now. That is the goal with one, creative finance in general right now, and two, using wraps because they can be very, very profitable right now. They could really, really, you can find deals where there weren't deals before.
Do you think of all those options, so to an owner-occupant would be best in this situation?
Well, it really depends, right? I didn't go through what this property would rent for. More than likely, so when you sell to an owner-occupant, it's usually a little bit more work than if you're going to try to wholesale it to another investor, right? Could be much more lucrative on something where you're getting into a $400,000 home for 10 grand. Kind of hard to lose, right? Now, let's say it only rents for $2,000 a month. That's probably not the best rental. Have to add our taxes and insurance, and there's probably no rent cash flow at all. These would be the exit strategies that I would look at based on what we were buying. But at the very least, if this property were nice, I know I could wholesale it to an owner-occupant, right? And if I wholesale it, by the way, then I'm not dealing with all the Dodd-Frank issue stuff, everything else. And hey, I probably could make a quick 30 grand, which, hey, it's better than most wholesale, your average wholesale fee doing it, selling stuff at a discount, at a significant discount. We're not getting really any discount here.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
All right. So let's talk about, are there any questions? I want to save this last example because we'll have two different offers and then we'll kind of go through some analysis. So I want to save that for the next episode. Nicole, did you have any questions as far as what we just did?
If you go back to example one, where there's basically not very much equity. So is this the best strategy to use when there is little equity in a deal?
Well, it's probably the only strategy that you're going to do, right? So, but we could do it subject to, or we could do it as an exact wrap. There's probably nothing else that you could really, I mean, depending on what this could rent for. If this could rent for $3,000 a month, then then it probably becomes a decent rental. Or if you were going to use it as like a short-term rental and you could get, net $5,000 a month or whatever it may be. The exit strategies for this type of property in most cases are going to be more than likely sell to an owner-occupant either as a wholesale or to stay in the middle, one or the other. And because normally when you have such little equity, you're not selling this to a landlord most likely. You're not going to be able to hold it for a rental most likely. So those are going to be the primary exit strategies. So if that is the case, then we're looking to buy for as little money down as possible, right? And take over this debt in some way or another through an exact wrap or sub two. And we're going to try to get as long of a time frame as we can. Obviously, this property, if we're paying, basically retail and their asking price, that we need this property to be in reasonably good condition and hopefully in a reasonably good area.
How would you, I guess on something like this, if you're staying in the middle, how do you profit from that or how's there any room?
So, question. All right. So if we're buying it for 385 and now we wanted to sell it for a little more, okay? Because what owner finance does a lot of times is it allows us to sell the property for more than truly what it's worth right now. You don't want to get too out of hand. And the reason I say that is that it may hinder the sale of the property. It may create issues where some of your exit strategies may be compromised a bit, but ultimately you still want to pass on a good deal. But hey, I'm basically saying I can finance you for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever, maybe longer, right? Whatever I've negotiated as far as a term, would you be willing to pay more for a house if you could get better terms over the long haul of it? I would, right?
Yeah.
If the property is worth $400 today, but you can you tell me I can have a $1,700 a month payment for the next 15 years, I'd be willing to pay $415, $420 for this property. So I'd raise the price, depending again on the condition and the location. So let's say that I raise the price to $420, okay, and I get a $40,000 down payment from my buyer, okay? Well, I've paid $10 to the seller. I get $40 minus $10, so I make $30,000, okay? I still owe the seller $375, which is what's owed on the property. I sold $420 and I got a $40,000. So my buyer owes me $380. There's not much spread there, right?
Right.
$5,000. It's not a whole lot. However, going interest rates right now are over sixes. And to be honest, I still wonder, can you really get a rate under 6.5? It's going to really look more like 6.75. So let's just say 6.75. So if I put in 380,000, okay,
into our balance there. Yep.
What's that?
I was just saying for the audio viewers, our audio listeners, in the present value or balance.
So let's say 6.5. 30 years. Okay, so if I sell this property at 6.5%, which is certainly right around the going rate, maybe even better, the payment that I'd be receiving would be $2,401. The payment I'd have to be making to my seller is $1,707. I get the difference. That's about $700.
Yep.
What if I sell it at 6%? $2,278. I'm still making $570. Yep, you're right. What if I sold it at 5.5? $2,157. Still making $450. So there may be a good reason to stay in the middle just for the monthly cash flow, but. Now let's look at the one thing that we don't know is how old this loan is, right? So how far along are we in this loan? But more than likely, it's 3.4%. It's going to pay down faster than our loan at 5.5%. But let's say that we decided to go 10 years, okay? It was a 10-year term. Okay, at the end of 10 years, our buyer still owes us $313,655. I guarantee you this will be less. I'll make more than $5,000, which was the spread to start with. Right. But it's not going to be a huge payday. Maybe it's $20,000, maybe it's $25,000. But I'm making really good money monthly. If I wasn't making good money monthly and I wasn't going to get a big back end to this, then I'd probably just take my money up front, right? And just pass on all the rest of the terms. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any final questions? And we will move on to our very last episode in this.
No questions over here.
All right. Well, go out and create some terms.